The Purple Rocket Podcast presents Winnie and the Pixie Knots. Episode 2, Whispers in the Attic. "Louise, don't make me spoon feed you your breakfast, 'cause I'll do it," my grandma said from the kitchen. She was whipping up a pot of cream of wheat. The golden heaps piled up on her spoon as she stirred. Lou just ignored her and continued to push her doll deeper into her bowl of oats. She was making the sinking girl doll speak to a boy doll in her other hand. "Oh, Prince of Wheat," she made the girl doll say, "it looks as though I've stepped into a bit of quicksand." She shook the male doll and lowered her voice.
"Oh, well, looks like I'll just have to find another bride then."
"But I thought you loved me."
"Eh, I only loved you for your money."
"Prince Wheatley, how could you?"
Lou pushed the girl doll's head into the oatmeal. "Prince Wheatley?" I said with a raised eyebrow.
"Yeah, you got a problem with that?"
Lou put more expression and energy into saying one sentence than most people put into running a marathon. Her duck hair bounced with the sassy movements of her head.
"Hello?" came a soft voice from behind the screen door. It was my bestest pal in the whole world, Jackson Taylor.
Cracker Jack looked like a beggar standing on the front porch, with his unkempt black hair, droopy cheeks, dirty overalls, and thick glasses. I swear he'd broken those glasses at least 100 times, half of which were probably my fault. He rubbed his glasses on his dirty sleeve, which only smudged them more.
"Well, don't just stand there, Jackson. Come in and grab some food before y'all go," Graham said.
"Thank you, ma'am, but I already ate. Thank you."
"You said thank you twice, you big galoot," Lou said, licking the cream of wheat off her dead princess.
I kicked her under the table.
"Oh, shut it. You don't even know what a galoot is."
"Yeah, huh?"
I folded my arms.
"Then what is it?"
She pointed to Jack.
"That is a galoot."
I rolled my eyes.
"You're all a bunch of galoots," Graham interrupted. "Now get on out of here or you'll be late."
Lou and I grabbed our things and headed out the door. "You can come in the house every once in a while, you know," I told Jack as we walked.
"I know," he said sheepishly.
"Hey, wait up," Lou cried, running up from behind with her oversized backpack.
I stopped and looked Jack square in the eye.
"You're scared of her, aren't you?"
Jack tried to look insulted.
"Scared? Scared of a little old lady? You kidding, right?"
"You said scared twice," Lou noted from behind.
"Quiet," Jack and I said.
"If you aren't scared, then how about you come over for dinner tonight?" I asked him. Jack looked like I'd punched him in the gut. He hesitated.
"Fine," he finally said. "I'll eat your old woman's food."
"Good."
"Look out," Lou shouted suddenly. Jack and I nearly jumped out of our pants and looked back at her. Lou raised her eyebrows like a snobby queen and put her hands on her hips.
"You almost stepped on my garden with your fat feet."
Indeed, we were inches away from crushing Lou's precious fairy garden. That garden was Lou's pride and joy. She'd worked on it since she could walk. And even I have to admit, it was quite impressive, with its colorful flowers, mossy rocks, clovers, and little furniture she'd made from twigs and yarn. It even had a little stream running by it that cut across our land and stretched from our house to the mailbox. A little bridge made of branches and yarn crossed over it. I carefully stepped out of its way.
"Sorry," I said.
Lou lifted her chin. Once we were out of her way, she pulled a pickle out of her bag and placed it on the tiny table in the garden. Jack stared at it, confused.
"What is she?"
"For pickles?" I asked.
"Duh,"
she replied, fixing the pickle so it was perfectly situated. Pickles was her fairy friend, the one she apparently had daily tea parties with and told all of her deepest, darkest secrets to. She called him Pickles because that was his favorite food. After leaving Pickles his dinner and setting his teeny-weeny plate, we finished our short walk to school. Jack and I stopped before we reached the fence. "We'll pick you up here after the bell," I told Lou.
"You're ditching again?
Tell Graham and I stomp your garden and eat all your pickles." Lou threw up her hands.
Okay, jeesh. Just a question. Pickles always says that missing school makes you a dum-dum. Just go."
And with that, we were rid of her. I don't know what she was whining about anyway. She takes the bus home half the time just so she can throw things out the window. Lou headed to class, and Jack and I ran to our usual hooky spot down by the river. There were a lot of good places to play along the river, but none of them were like our spot. It always had shade from the maple trees, and there was a rope swing dangling from the ugly oak. Yeah, we named a tree. That's what happens when your gram deprives you of a pet. You get attached to things like big ugly oak trees with twisted branches and abandoned owl holes. "Let's play tea party," I said, pulling out a couple of porcelain teacups from my backpack. "You can say all you want about me being too old to have tea parties, but hey, if they can have them in England till they're old and crusty, why can't I?" Jack lowered his voice and looked around as if we were being watched.
"Do we have to? We've played tea party the last 3 times we've come here."
"We could always go back to school. I hear they're serving green beans for lunch." Jack's eyebrows shot up into his shaggy bangs.
"Do you take sugar with your tea, madam?" he said in his terrible British accent. "Why, yes, 2 spoons, please," I replied in an accent just as bad.
Jack pretended to scoop sugar into my cup and stir it around.
"There you are."
He handed it to me and bowed like a gentleman.
"Thank you, good sir."
I took it and tipped it lightly against my lips. I didn't know how the British did it, tipping so little into their mouth at a time. If I had really been drinking something, it'd take me days to finish it. I guess that's the price you pay to be a lady. I looked up at the ugly oak.
"Are you a knight?" I asked. "The bravest in all the land," Jack assured me. "Then fetch me an egg from that robin's nest, and you shall win my hand."
Jack gazed up at the little nest on the highest branch. As soon as he saw it, the British gentleman disappeared.
"I ain't going up there. What would I do with your hand anyhow? I already got 2 of them. "Come on, I'll climb it if you do," I said, ditching the accent.
I could tell I wasn't convincing him.
"Suit yourself, chicken.
Yeah, I pulled the chicken card. Not one of my best insults, but it was the least likely to make Jack cry. Jack's eyes grew wide and filled his big glasses.
"Step aside, Winnie Mae!"
Jack walked over and grabbed onto the first branch.
I must say, he was surprisingly confident for the first 10 feet or so. That is, until he looked down.
From way up there, I must have been a speck to him. A speck that his big goggle eyes could barely make out.
"You're almost there," I shouted. "Just reach up and grab it."
Jack slowly looked up at the tiny nest on the old branch and swallowed. He clung to the tree like a spider monkey. Then I heard a weird sound coming from up in the tree. It sounded like a bunch of snorts and sniffs.
"Are you crying?"
I called up to him.
"No,"
Jack said with a sniff. He was totally crying.
"Well, come on then. I'm getting hungry."
Jack shook his glasses with one hand to clear them of his tears, and then reached for the branch with his trembling hand. Just as his fingers touched the bark, a raccoon jumped out onto the limb and made Jack squeal higher than my sister Lou when Graham makes her clean her room. He pulled his arm back and grabbed onto the trunk.
"It's just a little old coon, Crackerjack," I laughed.
But my laughter was cut short as the branch gave under the raccoon's weight and broke off.
Crack!
Jack watched in horror as the big rotten limb above him snapped off and splashed into the water below. As I watched the branch float down the river and knock into boulders, I caught the sickest feeling in my stomach. Like all my insides had started fighting each other. I looked up at Jack. Seeing that terrified look on his face made me feel awful.
"Hold on, Jack, I'm coming."
I ran up to the tree and climbed it as fast as I could, practically jumping from one owl hole to the next.
Pretty soon I was right under him.
Okay, I gotcha. Just slowly follow me back down.
Jack sobbed.
I'm not a chicken. I'm not a chicken, he cried.
Jack, you're the bravest boy I ever knew. Now come on and help me down. I'm scared, I lied. I knew it was the only way to get him to let loose.
For whatever reason, Jack was powerless in protecting himself, but always made the extra effort when it came to me.
Well, he said, calming down, don't worry. I'll show you how.
Jack shuffled down towards me, and I mimicked his movements until we were safely back on the ground. I was having a hard time looking him in the face after that. He was my best friend, and I knew better than to push him like that.
I'm sorry, I said.
Sorry what? I got up there, didn't I?
I smiled.
You sure did.
Come on, we better get Lou before she starts screaming at strangers. We laughed, and I turned to head back down the trail.
Jack shrieked the second I turned my back.
Winnie, don't move!
His panicked voice sent tingles from my legs up to my neck. Only it wasn't tingles I was feeling.
A long brown snake slithered up my back and peeked out over my shoulder. I wanted to scream my brains out, but was too scared to move.
What should I do? What should I do? Jack asked. He picked up a stick like that was gonna help somehow.
What, you gonna beat it off me? I whispered. Put that thing down. Maybe if you wiggle a bit, it'll just fall off. Talk quieter. Maybe if you wiggle a little, I heard you the first time. Here, I'm gonna slowly walk over to this bush and see if it slithers onto it. Like a transfer, good idea.
Trying not to make any sudden movements, I carefully crept over to the berry bush by the ugly oak and leaned. The snake's flickering tongue tickled the side of my neck and made me both want to laugh and scream. It finally saw the branch and stretched towards it. My heavy breathing made its smooth body move up and down. With a noise that made my heart stop, the bush shook and out ran that blasted raccoon. The snake panicked and clung to the closest thing it could reach. My neck. Its fangs sunk into my skin and almost immediately sent a fiery burn into my face and chest.
Winnie! Jack screamed.
I yelled and yanked the snake off my neck and threw it into the bushes. The burn was getting worse. I touched the wet bite and looked at my fingers. They were covered in blood. The sight of it made me queasy and lightheaded. My thoughts started to jumble together. Jack grabbed my arm and I screamed because it felt like he held a hot iron to my skin.
We gotta get you to a doctor, he said.
We ran back to my house, and with every stride I could feel myself getting weaker. I tripped a few times over the tall grass, but Jack quickly pulled me to my feet.
Almost there, he encouraged.
He was almost crying as much as I was. Finally, we reached the house and burst through the front door. Startled, Graham jumped to her feet from her rocking chair. Lou froze at the kitchen table. She'd obviously taken the bus home.
What happened? Graham cried.
She ran over and took me out of Jack's arms.
She got bit by a snake down by the creek, Jack said, still crying.
The creek? Sit here, honey. I'll be right back.
Graham set me down in her rocking chair and ran to her room. I could feel the sweat dripping down my burning face. My neck had swollen to the size of an elephant leg, and I was practically gasping for air. Lou hid behind the kitchen table as if to shield herself from a contagious disease.
Should I call the doctor? She cried.
No!
Graham shouted from her room. She emerged with a tiny glass of black liquid that looked like dirty car grease.
There's no way she's going to try to feed me that, I thought.
My question was quickly answered by her grabbing my chin, tilting my head back, and pouring the thick liquid into my swollen mouth. I swallowed the bitter drink and coughed for air once I'd finished.
Ugh, nasty!
It tasted like vinegar and mud. Jack stood by the door with wet streaks down his cheeks. As I looked at him, I noticed that I could see his whole body now rather than just a sliver. The swelling in my face had already gone down. I took a deep breath, the first in over 20 minutes. And after a few more, the trembling in my arms and legs stopped.
How do you feel? Graham asked, touching my forehead with the back of her hand.
I nodded and made some noise that sounded like a good and yeah mixed together.
Good.
Graham walked over to the sink and rinsed the cup.
I'm gonna call Dr. Tom, Lou insisted.
Graham pointed at her.
What did I say just a second ago? No!
She came back and took me to the bathroom to clean me up, all the while Jack stood quietly by the door, making sure everything was okay. Minutes later, I came back out and collapsed on a chair in the kitchen.
I better head home. My mom will be worried, Jack finally said.
Stay and eat, I said in a hoarse voice.
You said you would.
Jack looked at Grandma Annie and then back at me.
Maybe another time.
Graham wouldn't have it.
Nonsense, Jackson. It's important to be a man of your word, even at your age.
Now sit down and I'll call your mom to make sure it's okay. She reached for the phone.
I'll call her.
Jack jumped over to my grandma's side.
Best I explain so she doesn't worry none.
Graham handed him the phone. Suit yourself. Jack called his mom and said nothing of where he'd been or what had happened. He cut right to the chase and asked for permission to stay for dinner. A sneaky move that I'm sure Graham noticed. For dinner, we had spicy gumbo, Lou's favorite. Half her bowl was finished before any of us had sat down. Graham told her how rude it was to eat before everyone else had their food, but Lou just shrugged and slurped another spoonful. Jack sat up straight in his chair, his hands folded in his lap.
This is delicious, Miss May. Thank you for inviting me, he said.
Graham glanced both ways.
Jackson, you haven't even touched your plate yet. How could you possibly know if it's delicious or not? I just know, ma'am. Anything by your hand is delicious.
Lou rolled her eyes.
How about you take a few bites and then tell me what you think?
Jack brought the spoon to his lips and took a sip. He struggled to hide his disgusted face.
Like heaven on a spoon, ma'am.
I giggled, but Jack was serious. He was trying way too hard.
Jackson, take another bite, Graham said.
Jack obeyed, and the same thing happened. He winced at the taste, and his fake smile struggled to hide how painfully disgusted he was.
Jackson, Graham said.
Ma'am?
I frighten you, don't I?
No, ma'am.
Jackson, she insisted. Not at all.
Graham gave him her penetrating eye look.
You scare me stupid, Jack admitted.
Lou burst into laughter and nearly shot gumbo out her nose.
Shut it, I told her.
Graham smiled and dabbed her mouth.
You don't have to eat it, you know.
Here, I'll find you something else. She got up and headed to the cupboard for some leftover cornbread. I could tell Jack was relieved to finally get that off his chest. We'd always known he was scared of her, but I never thought the cowardly little bugger would actually admit it. Graham put the cornbread on his plate and sat back down. It was gone before she could say another word.
Smokes! Lou swallowed. You see how fast he ate that?
Enough, Graham said. She looked at me. Winifred, you gonna tell me what you've been doing all afternoon? I cringed.
Winifred. What drove me crazy is she didn't just use it when she was angry. She used it all the time.
I left my bag by the creek yesterday and thought we'd grab it before heading home. I was shocked that Lou wasn't jumping in and ratting on me. She probably knew I had enough on her to last me a lifetime. But my hopes of getting out of it were quickly shattered by Graham saying,
Oh, you mean that bag?
She pointed to my school bag by the back door, conveniently where we hadn't been since we'd gotten home.
The only bag you own, she added.
Was all I could say. Jack's face turned beet red. Poor guy was already terrified of Graham as it was, and now I dragged him into it. Lou looked at me like I was pathetic for not coming up with a better excuse. Graham said.
You're grounded, young lady.
But what about the fair tomorrow? It's opening night. Jack and I...
Whoa, the fair?
Graham held up a finger.
Haven't I told you to never go near that fair?
But I thought that was just because I was too little before. Graham shook her head.
You may never go to that fair. You hear?
My eyes watered. I was shocked. I'd been planning on going to the fair for months. Jack and I had mapped out the whole evening. Why did she care so much anyway?
Before Jack could see the tears welling up in my eyes, I bolted for my room. That night, Graham let Jack sleep over so he didn't have to walk home in the dark. After a quick call to his mom for permission, he headed up to the room closest to the attic. It couldn't have been more than 15 minutes before he came knocking at my door. Lou turned in the bed next to me.
"I'll kill him," she whispered.
Wrapping my homemade quilt around me, I tiptoed over and opened the door. Sure enough, there was Jack, looking like he'd just seen 100 ghosts on his way over.
"What is it?" "I keep hearing things in the attic."
"It's nothing," I told him.
"Go back to bed."
I tried to close the door, but he stopped it.
"I'm serious, Winnie. There's something up there."
He looked serious.
"Fine," I groaned. "Come on."
Jack cautiously led me up the stairs to the attic, and sure enough, just as he'd said, there was a voice coming from the room. I recognized it immediately.
"This is it? It's just Graham, you ninny. She talks to herself up there every night. I thought you heard something else."
Jack opened the door a crack to see for himself. There she was, rocking in her chair with her legs propped up on her old wooden chest, knitting and mumbling to herself as always. Sometimes she'd look out the window and stare at the moon as if talking to it. Clearly the lady needed some friends. I would have just left it at that and gone back to bed, but something from Graham's conversation caught my ear.
"And then she comes home, wheezing with a head as big as a balloon," she said. "She's a fighter, all right."
"Yep, she gets it from you.
I guess I should have expected that. And now she wants to go to the fair."
"Of course I won't let her.
I will do everything in my power to keep her from seeing them."
My heart stopped.
See them? Who is she talking about? Who couldn't I see? "Your grandma gives me the creeps," Jack whispered, only far too loud.
Graham sprang up from her chair.
"Who's there?" she snapped.
Jack and I bolted for our rooms. I think I accidentally shoved him into a bookshelf on my way down the hall, because after I bumped him, I heard a loud bang and an "Ugh!" I prayed he'd make it in time. I'm pretty sure I heard him say "I peed" over and over as he stumbled into his room.
"You better all be in bed when I come down there," came Graham's voice.
I dove into bed from the doorway and hid under the covers. Was it normal to be this scared of your grandma? No wonder Jack hardly ever wanted to come over. I couldn't blame him. Now it was really going to be impossible to fall back asleep, especially after hearing what Graham said to herself. Normally, she just talked about her day and boring things like how her jams had turned out. But tonight, I'd given her something real to think out loud about. There was something about that fair that she didn't want me to find out. Whatever it was, it only made me want to go more than ever. And I didn't care what she said. I was going to that fair tomorrow, and I was going to find out who they were.